Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Harmonize with me and hold me tight all through the night. You're shining bright. I'm your oyster, baby. You're my pearl.
Well, William.
Hello, Dominic.
We are now joined by the fantastic Dante. What's going on, Dante?
Cheers. Cheers.
Hey, what?
Our guest is here, like, straight away at the very beginning of the friendship onion.
That's how he does it. And you look fantastic. I'm liking this style, Dante.
Thank you. Cheers. Cheers, mate. Cheers.
Every time I see you, Dante, you've always got fantastic style.
I appreciate it. I see you guys at cons, and I'm for everybody out there listening and watching. So the Hobbit dudes roll in, right? And they're like the cool kids.
Is that right? Is
no, 100%. Very, a little, you know, I wave to you guys, say hi, but it's like a very, you know, everyone at the con, the green room's where all the, you know, the talent is kicking it in between appearances and whatnot. You know, but the Hobbits rolling, they're like the cool kids. They're
wow.
Like the T-Birds.
Well,
like the
Arthur Fonzarellis.
Yeah, hey, the T-Birds.
I didn't know that either.
Oh, for sure.
Should we get jackets? Like T-Bird jackets?
You should have some T-Bird jackets for sure.
I'd love that. Would you give your style a name, Dante? Is there a particular name?
California Cool.
All right. Loving it.
Cali.
What's
cool.
Yours?
What, my style?
Yeah.
I think military punk.
Well, that's good.
What's yours?
Yeah. Glasgow Gallus.
Brilliant. Gallus. Always try and get that word in. Have we talked about Gallus on the show yet? I think we have a little bit.
That's a word I've never heard of.
Oh, tell Dante.
Do you want me to tell you about that word?
I would like some definition and some...
So, in Scotland, we have a lot of words that people don't use in other countries.
Right.
We speak English, but we have other words.
Right.
Kind of.
Gallus is one of my favourites. And Gallus means when somebody is like slightly overconfident, dressed maybe a little extravagant, and you'd see them and you say, oh, look at Dante, he's looking a bit gallus today, right? But
gallus. That's with a G.
With a G. G-A-L-L-U-S. But also, if you have a nice meal, you could say, that was gallus.
Gallus.
What would be, Bills, what would be currently some good examples of a gallus human walking about?
Gallus would be messy.
Messi's pretty gallus.
Messi on the football field, soccer field.
Lionel Messi, do you not know him? What about Machine Gun Kelly? Do you know Machine Gun Kelly?
Yes.
He's a bit gallus. Do you know him?
Yes, of course.
Megan Fox's fella.
Yes.
He's cool. He's clearly very talented.
He's a little gallus.
He likes to let you know about it.
Maybe a little too gallus.
Over gallus.
I like one of my favourite Scottish words, which is another one that you don't hear that often, but Billy's amazing wife is an artist and she draws these things and they're all over the house. Ela for a swan.
Ela.
Isn't that beautiful? Oh, yeah. Look at that lovely wee Ela.
That's Ela. That's
can you,
nice.
Can you do a Scottish accent, Dante?
No, I can't.
What about an English accent?
No. Maybe. I did audition for History Boys and I had to learn a British accent for that.
Okay.
I was hanging out with a Scot.
Scottish, yeah.
Scottish.
Yeah, Scott.
I caught one of the guys from Game of Thrones, very great guy. And I called him a Scotchman. And he said Dante.
Yeah.
Dante's. They're the Scott. First, Scotch is a drink.
Yeah.
And you can be a Scot.
Yeah.
But never a Scotchman.
Mm-hmm. You can be Scotch or a Scotch.
Yeah. We don't know that we're Americans. I said Scotchman.
Mm.
And it was wrong. Like Englishman, Scotchman.
Englishman. Also, there's a weird thing that goes on in the United States where they think there is such a thing as a British accent. There isn't a British accent.
Is it?
Yeah. Britain is a collection of three countries, right?
Four.
Is it four?
Yeah. No.
So, Scotland, Wales, England and Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
Are we sure or is that not the United Kingdom?
Britain.
Watch your step. Watch your step.
Someone corrected me once.
Watch your step. But you can get you make hairy.
I think Britain is Scotland, Wales, and England. I think the United Kingdom encompasses Northern Ireland.
I always thought United Kingdom and Britain were just interchangeable words.
I was corrected once. But anyway, so obviously you can't have a combination of a American, Canadian, Mexican accent. So you can have a Scottish accent, a Welsh accent, an English accent.
We don't know that. As Americans, if you guys have your accents here, you understand that we think you guys are all incredibly intelligent and incredibly fashionable.
It's not true.
And very desirable.
Oh, really?
You definitely go up at least 2-3 points on the scale, 1 through 10. I attribute it to, you know, like anything, you know, a lot of times you see in cultures, it's this colonized cultures. Like, I'm Filipino, we were colonized by the Spanish. So if someone's Spanish, was like, oh, they're Spanish. Americans, we're like a scion of England. Like, we're kind of, so you guys are like our, we look up to you. And we don't want to admit it. But when the English person walks in the room, we all listen.
Oh, you shouldn't.
But
you shouldn't.
I know we shouldn't. And we don't even know. Like, as I've traveled through London and whatnot, and you understand there's, even within England, there's different accents of like more brutish kind of communities and more posh. We all think you guys are all posh. Everyone, doesn't matter.
Right.
And I remember I was hanging out with Charlie Hunnam one time.
Oh, lovely,
I was like,
Charlie.
And Charlie's great. And I was hanging out with his dad when he was alive and his brother. And I was like, you guys are saying, no, my... They're hooligans. You don't understand. Like, my dad, I'm like, they'll beat you up. You don't let them into the party. I'm like, no, we're American. Like, you guys will walk into a party and we think you guys are all just family members of the royal family.
Upper class. Everyone's
posh. Everyone's posh. He goes, I'm not posh. I'm like, but you have a British accent.
Yeah.
Well, to us, you're posh.
To finish the Scottish Gallus thing, as Dom says, my wife has this company called Gallus Life, where she takes Scottish words and phrases and makes art and clothes. And I just noticed I'm wearing one.
Can you clap your dog?
Can
clap your dog.
What do you think that means?
Can you clap your dog? Can you pet your dog?
Yes, can I clap your dog?
Oh, so that's English.
It's a nice way to say to someone...
Well, yeah, Scottish.
Scottish. And it's if you meet someone with a dog and you're like, that dog might bite me if I ask it to pet. Can I pet your dog?
Right.
Can I clap your dog?
Can I clap your dog?
That is perfect, Dante. Yeah. I'm going to get you one of those t-shirts. Yeah.
I like to clap your dog.
Do you want it in black or yellow?
Black.
Done. I want to see you wearing it though, because you're cool. I'll wear it.
At the next convention. We're going to see you in Toronto, right?
I'll see you in Toronto. FanX Toronto.
Listen, don't be a stranger. Don't feel like you can't come over to this cool
nervous,
kids table.
It's a little nervous over, going we'll there. That Hobbit table is a little nerve-wracking. It's like going over to the cool kids table trying to sit down.
We'll
and
get you
have
a T-Birds jacket.
You know, have a little carton of milk at the lunch, you know, the lunch spot. Does anyone have this seat?
I think Hook gets you in there though.
Yeah.
I think that alone gets you.
I appreciate that. Isn't it weird when you go to conjure guys? There's like, there's pieces of all of our, I mean, of course, fans are there and there's pieces of their nostalgia, but we're people too, you guys. Yeah. It's pieces of our nostalgia sitting at tables all around.
Yeah.
And it's like the Hobbit guys, there's like the Karate Kid, Cobra Kai guys. Yeah, there's like, you just see all these like Star Trek.
Yeah, there's
the Hulk, and he's like, I want to go say hi. I'm Fonzie. I had to go say hi to Fonzie.
Lovely, Henry Winkler, isn't he?
And you're like, I just got to say hello to you.
Yeah,
you
we know? Can have those moments too. I had it at the last convention. Corey Feldman was there.
Oh, you Corey. Know,
growing up, Goonies,
I grew
Stand
up with
By
Corey.
Me. Incredible.
Yeah, I mean, he's a legend.
I'd seen him from a distance before, but didn't get a chance to see him. We chatted, and it was a lovely conversation. And when he left, he said, see you later, Billy.
Crazy. I grew up with Corey, and I had not seen him in a bunch of years. I did a project when we were teenagers.
Lovely.
And we ran to each other in the bathroom, and we had a 30-minute conversation in the bathroom.
Take it out the bathroom.
I couldn't. I was trying to get out, but Corey, you know, it's like you're in the middle of a conversation. And
that's where we met.
He was going heavy in it, and I was like, I guess I'm going to stand here while everyone else goes to the bathroom.
That's where we met today, right? I was peeing, and you walked past. You went, hey! And I was like, oh, I can't wave right now. The doctor said I'm not supposed to hold any everything.
I said, how you doing? He said, chilling.
Yeah, just chilling. I said chilling, and as you walked away, I went, and pissing, but you missed that bit. Hey, should we do a quick League of Legends update?
Well, first off...
Oh, back up.
We haven't really introduced onto anyone.
I know, I just thought everyone would know.
We haven't even introduced
you. We're just hanging out.
Do you mind if I do a very small four-line introduction?
Sure, four lines is great.
Just an embarrassment for you.
A blurb.
Dante Basco, or Dante R. Basco. Yeah. What's the R for?
Rufio. No, it's not. It's not. It's from
that'd have been good.
Roman.
Dante Roman Basco is a Filipino-American film, television, and voice actor. He is probably best known for his role as Rufio, the leader of the Lost Boys in Steven Spielberg's Hook, and for his many voice acting roles, most notably as Prince Zuko from Nickelodeon's Avatar, The Last Airbender. Jake Long from Disney Channel's American Dragon, Jake Long and Spinkick from Carmen Sandiego. How's that?
Sounds like perfect link.
Just a touch of your life. Just an absolute...
They give you, like, someone reads a whole page and a half of your Wikipedia and then you got to walk out like...
And it's back to things like you did at drama school and things. Yeah. And you're like, no, that's too much.
That's too much.
We need to update it.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. How well would you take care of your car if you had to keep the same one your entire life? That's how our brains work. So why don't we treat them that way? How we care for our minds affects how we experience life, so it's important to invest time and care into keeping them healthy.
Dom, everything that happens in your life happens in your mind.
Oh, true.
Think about that for a second. Mm. So you've got to keep your mind healthy. Mm. And a big part of that is talking about your experiences, talking about what you're going through. And if you don't have someone to talk to, I think BetterHelp is a great idea.
Mm-hmm. BetterHelp is online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat only therapy sessions. So you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. And you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours.
Our listeners get 10% off the first month at betterhelp.com/onion. That's betterhelp.com/onion. When running a business, your employees can create all kinds of interesting situations, like getting complaints because someone on the team always smells awful. Mm-hmm. Like my friend here to my right.
Hello.
Well, you better talk to Bambi.
With Bambi, get access to your own dedicated HR manager starting at just $99 per month. They're available by phone, email, and real-time chat, so onboarding and terminations run smoothly, team members reach peak performance, and your business stays compliant with changing HR regulations. And with Bambi's HR autopilot, you'll automate important HR practices like setting policies, training, and feedback. And let me tell you about Bambi's dedicated HR managers, Bills. They are US-based people dedicated to your business.
Lovely.
Or your business out there, giving you access to HR expertise and personal touch that you need. HR managers can easily cost $80,000 a year, but Bambi's starting $99 a month. That's a saving. Schedule your free conversation today to see just how much Bambi can take off your plate.
Bambi matches you with your very own dedicated HR manager that you can easily reach by phone, chat, or email. Bambi's dedicated HR managers will know your business and your specific concerns. Implement the most important HR practices for small businesses on autopilot.
Visit bambi.com/onion right now. Spelled BAMBEE.com/onion. Bambi.com/onion.
We were talking just before the show started about the fact that Israel Adesanya, who is the light heavyweight champion of the UFC, and probably one of the more exciting UFC fighters in the last 5 or 10 years or so, is a huge Airbender fan.
And he is definitely Gallus.
Yeah, he's very
definitely Gallus.
Oh, yeah.
He calls himself the Stylebender.
I do know what you're talking about. That's him. That's him.
Because
I've seen
he
him.
Mixes styles all
he's
the time.
He's a beast. I saw one fight with him and he was too easy for
Dude,
him.
Dude, he's too amazing. Easy. You should hit him up on Instagram and say, hey, I do this voice. And he'd probably be like, oh, what's up? That's his favorite TV show.
I would love to hit him up. And it's crazy, how, especially the fighters, especially that there's one of the WWE wrestlers, Xavier Woods, he came out as Rufio.
For a bout,
and he came with the Trihawks and everything, and everyone was like chanting Rufio, and of course my Twitter and stuff blew up. People sent
That's
it to me,
cool.
And so I reached out to him, just like, yo, that was bangarang. And then he sent me tickets to his next show in Staples Center. We went saw him perform live. It was crazy.
Can I do an email that came in from one of the listeners, Dom? Because
it'll
be good at this time.
I'll allow it.
It's from Berto08, and he says, Dom. So it's to you, Dom.
Yeah.
Dom,
you like Avatar, The Last Airbender.
I do.
What kind of bender would you be and why? And what about you, Billy? If you haven't seen it, please make him watch it. As you know, it will change his life. Thank you, guys. I love the podcast.
He hasn't seen it.
He didn't know Dante was going to be on this week.
Research. Right? Billy, a little research.
I've been trying to get Billy to watch a ton of things over the years. And Billy has done with me as well. But you just don't have the time, do you, Bills?
I don't have the time.
I know. There's just too many things to watch.
There's a lot to do.
Bulking right now. I don't know if you know Dante, but he's been bulking for the past six to 8 weeks.
Well, I was enjoying eating, right?
We all have during COVID.
I just eaten a lot and I thought, while I'm eating, why don't I just lift heavy things and then maybe I'll feel better about eating and getting heavier. And it works.
It works.
Now I get up in the morning, I go on the scale and I'm like, yes, I've gained 5 pounds.
Yeah, because we know muscle weighs more than fat. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. So now that the scale means nothing.
Yeah. But now my headspace has changed and now I just want to get huge.
Mm. Are you going for it?
I'm really going for it.
But there's the bulk up and there's the cut.
I'm not doing the cut.
No, he's not cutting. He's getting like world's strongest man big. Yeah.
So not cutting anyway.
No cut.
No definition.
Just the world's strongest men events, carrying the big heavy ball and just all the crazy stuff.
Is there anyone in particular that you could like talk about in terms of body size that would be your goal that people would know out there? Like we know Jeff Capes, but I don't think a lot of people know Jeff Capes.
They wouldn't know Jeff
Capes. Big Daddy.
And then that guy,
Eddie Hall.
The first guy that he lifted a ton, didn't he?
Eddie Hall.
Yeah, Eddie Hall.
But would people know him? Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know.
What I want to see is, I want to see you ready, like Marvel ready.
No, I'm not going for
cut.
That.
No cut. No, we're just
saying cut.
No cut.
Maybe more like
just
the thing,
the strength. Yeah, the thing.
Would that be right? Do you know the thing? Yeah, that Fantastic kind of thing. Four?
Do you know, once we were talking about conventions and stuff, and there was another time in my life, a while back when I was lifting heavy weights, and I wasn't putting on muscle. And I saw Lou Ferrigno.
Oh, yeah.
So I went over to him, the Hulk, and I says, look, I'm lifting heavy weights here, Lou, and why am I not putting on muscle? And he says, you're not eating enough. So now I've started eating before I've even started lifting.
Put those calories to work.
My trainer told me years ago, 70% diet.
Yeah.
He said, if you have an impeccable diet and you don't really go to the gym, you will sooner or later look fantastic. If you go to the gym and your diet is terrible, you'll look awful. Can I ask you about the toilet?
Carry on.
Any changes in your toilet going experiences?
Other than I would think probably weight would be only...
You would say bigger, girthier.
I would say...
Sorry, Dante.
No, it's okay.
Singularly, the jobby looks the same. It's another Scottish word.
Jobby.
Which means a poo.
Okay, a jobby.
And my jobby looks the same.
Mm, it's not girthier.
But I would think it's probably get more mass.
Could you pick it up the next time?
I could probably pick it. I don't know how far I could throw it.
I wouldn't bring it into the studio.
You think it's denser?
It's definitely denser. You know, like things can be the same size but heavier.
Dense. Density.
Like they say a black hole maybe is only the size of a tennis ball.
Right.
Crazy.
But it weighs as much as a galaxy.
Right.
That's crazy.
Well, that's what my job is like.
They say like a tablespoon of like Uranus is like... The planet is
Uranus.
Like,
we're talking about his age.
Uranus,
right now.
Yeah, is like 100 pounds or something. Wow! Crazy.
And just to conclude on that, Bills, stench? Any change in
None.
Stench?
No smell at all.
Brilliant.
Mm.
And one flush gone.
Gone.
Should we move on?
Carry on.
I love your guys' scientific acumen. On the situations. I was listening to your podcast, so you guys are talking about just a quick side note: the Fahrenheit Celsius thing.
Oh yeah.
Do you know
any insights?
The one insight I will tell you: I'm American, so I grew up with Fahrenheit, and I'm like, I think who was Bill? I don't know.
Billy was incorrect. I was correct.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, so when I go to Asia or Europe, they're all on Celsius. I mean, Americans are ridiculous. We're in the inches, and we should probably all be one thing, but. I get confused too. So 0 to 100 Celsius is freezing and boiling water, which makes sense.
You sure.
However, what I found out, which makes more sense now, is I said, well, then why? Who created? How did they create Fahrenheit? And someone told me, oh, when they created Fahrenheit, they thought 100 degrees was the body temperature of a human. Later on, they found out we're 98 degrees, or it varies. But so Fahrenheit is based on the human body. So at 100 degrees is what our bodies are, roughly 100 degrees.
Yeah, that's about
it. So that's the difference of it.
And that's in Fahrenheit.
That's Fahrenheit. That's the one piece of information I was like, that's the one thing that makes sense.
Okay, that's helpful.
So when it's super hot outside, like today, and it's like 90.
Yeah, our body, it's like 10 degrees lower than our body temperature.
Our body's that hot.
Oh,
our
body's hot. We run very hot. Yeah. If you touch a human, they're hot.
Are they?
Yeah, well, do you sleep next to your wife, right? Do you not ever just like stick out a foot and you go, ooh, she's
thirsty. But it doesn't feel like outside just now.
What's 10 degrees lighter than outside?
10 degrees lighter is a big difference. Yeah. Yeah, they're hot. And also, and this is what gets confusing. 0 degrees Celsius is also 0 degrees Fahrenheit.
No.
Are you sure?
No, it's negative 40 degrees Celsius is negative 40 degrees Fahrenheit.
Right. Yeah. Once you get to negative 40, they match each other.
That's what it is. And what's amazing at that point is you could take a warm bucket of water at that point outside and throw it, and it's going to become snow instantly.
Oh, I love that.
You throw it in the air and it becomes snow.
Well, at minus 40.
It's something like
that. And sometimes it becomes minus 40. It doesn't, like in Canada.
Yeah.
It does.
And yeah, I've seen it on videos, people throwing it out.
Yeah, it comes
Our friend Steph Bills, who's made those two pictures on the back of the wall there, Dante, and makes a lot of artwork for us, told me today that Celsius and centigrade are just words that you can swap in and out. So
what I love is actors talking about science.
Yeah, yes. I love science.
Actors talking about science in particular.
I like it too.
it's the best, isn't it?
We're the best science students in the world.
Yeah, exactly. I like it too.
Why do we find it so interesting?
Because we didn't study it hard enough in school and we just thought it was cool.
Yeah, it could be that.
We studied other things, creative things.
Also, you'll find what's interesting... for me at least, is I find that the people that I'm closest to in my life, I like to know about their bowel habits. So I ask Billy quite a lot about his
toilet. That's quite a personal question.
My brother, my good friends, when I see them, it's been a while, I say, everything right? Everything normal? Anything going on? I would not do that with someone that I didn't know. But I do often quite ask you, don't I?
Why is that?
I don't know. I think it's like an intimacy thing.
Right.
Intimacy.
My brother, one time we were shooting a movie together, Dionisio, and he was feeling bad. His stomach, he had this ulcer going on. He almost couldn't shoot, but we had to, it was an indie film, so we have to shoot. Like, there's no not doing it. And they said, you can't smoke, you can't eat bad food, all stuff. Of course, 2 weeks into the shooting, he's up at night smoking cigarettes. Oh, he's eating the Taco Bell that came in the second meal. And he wakes up one morning, knocks on my door, I'm knocking on his door because we're looking for him. He's like, it's not good. I'm like, what's not good? He's like looking really just pale. He goes, I pooped and it's dark. I go, how dark? And he looked at me, he goes, you know night? Ooh, I said, you know night? He goes, you know night?
Ooh, that is dark.
It was dark.
And he had a pint of Guinness?
Yeah, he was fine. He ended up going, we had to take him to ER, but to this day, we'll look at him and go, hey, you know night?
You know night?
How dark is it? You know night?
That's scary.
That is scary.
Poop can sometimes be a little bit scary. Well, there's another question here, Bills. Should we do these later or should we do them now?
Carry on.
All right. Well, there's a question here.
Dante may join in.
There was the Bender question.
Oh, we've not even done
didn't answer
Bender.
That. We've been chatting along.
I know.
Okay. Well, if I could be I've been called a Bender.
You got fire, water, air, and
but
earth.
But this says a new one.
Or a new one, if you have a new one going on.
No, it doesn't seem new.
Oh, it's just what kind would you be? So fire water, air.
What's the other
land?
One?
Earth.
So you can get...
There's the Earth Kingdom, the Air Nomads, the Fire Nation, and the water Tribe.
Right, well, if I had
and
to
the last
one, four,
can he can do all of them, is that right?
That's the Avatar.
Yeah, he's the Avatar.
Or she. It goes generation. Rebirth like the Buddha.
Right.
Nice.
I would be air. Out of all of those, because sometimes you're not around water and then you've negated your powers, and sometimes you're not around fire.
I can see your energy being air. Plus, air is kind of, tricksters, kind of like light and kind of very, air. It's just,
I like the air one.
Okay. What about you?
Your character's a firebender, right?
I'm Fire Nation all the time.
Fire. Now, do you need fire to be there? Like, if there's no fire, you can't do anything?
We create fire.
You can create
Yes, yes.
By the rubbing of your thumbs?
Just we come from within.
Oh, you can just get it like
that?
Yeah, well, that's quite good.
You like that show.
The waterbenders need to be
I've
around
seen some
water.
Of it.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
I think you're fire?
Hold on. No, I think it'd be water. See if I was a waterbender.
You need water around. If you're going to be a waterbender, you need water around. You're not summoning water from anywhere.
But
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Can't take water out the air.
I haven't seen it yet. Maybe you're a high-level waterbender.
Your spit. What about your spit?
That's part waterbender, part airbender if you can do that.
Mm. Can I freeze the water and create...
Yes, you can do that. You can freeze water.
Yeah, I'm having that then.
Okay.
That'd be great. I'm going surfing tomorrow. So
oh, I'll, so you're I've a surfer.
Got, I've got water in my head right now.
You'll have it in your ears by the time you get back.
I can have a quick question to you guys, because when I was in England... They call our show, you know, it's Avatar The Last Airbender here and around the world. But in England, they were calling it The Adventures of Aang, because they said the word bender is maybe known as, like, gay or something like that.
Yeah, it has a negative connotation. Not, it's like a slur.
Is it a slur?
Yeah, it's a shame.
So do you guys, but, nah, whatever. You're a bender. Airbender. Waterbender.
In America, yeah. I think it's commended in a way that, you know, we're okay with. But yeah. Certainly in England, it's an unfortunate word.
It's an unfortunate word in England.
Mm. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, so they changed the name.
They're like, you're one of the stars of The Adventures of Aang. I'm like, huh?
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess I am.
I was in Ecuador once, season two of doing this nature show, and these Italian tourists came over to me. I didn't speak Italian, obviously, but someone translated, and they said, you are... the magician of animals. And I was like, what? And they went, you're the magician of animals. And I was like, what does that mean? And then they had it further translated and they said, in Italy, your show, which is called Wild Things, is called The Magician of Animals. I was like, that's brilliant.
That's great.
I am. That's a longer tattoo to have, but yes.
Yeah, that is me.
I like that. I like when they change the names.
I like it too.
I like it too.
If you haven't heard already, it's Smooth Sack Summer. Oh, yes. Smooth Sack, Tom. You want to keep your balls cool this summer. And I tell you who's going to help with that. Manscaped, the leader in below-the-belt grooming. They're making sure that you have a ball this summer and keeping everything fresh. So dive headfirst into Smooth Sack Summer by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with our code Onion.
Mm-hmm. Their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 has a 7,000 RPM motor and a new multifunction on-off switch that can engage a travel lock so it doesn't, you know, wake up while it's in your luggage. And gives you the ability to turn the 4,000K LED spotlight on and off when needed. For a more precise shave.
Fantastic, Dom. And Manscaped even throw in two free gifts with their Performance Package 4.0. They'll give you boxers, which are very comfortable. I like them very much. And the Shed travel bag that will bring comfort to another level.
Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code ONION at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code ONION at manscaped.com. It's Smooth Sack Summer, boys. Get on board. Get left behind.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember, but when I was doing like indie movies and things, I used to always try and put happy days. I always tried to get my character to say happy days at some point.
That's great.
And one film that I did, which is called On a Clear Day in Britain, when it went to France, they called it Happy Days.
Did they really?
And I loved it. Yeah,
that's great. That's great.
I'd always do it just as I was walking out or somewhere or something. I go, oh, happy days. You know, something.
I love it.
Always put it. And they called the movie that.
That's brilliant.
I loved it.
Well, Dante.
Yes.
What we tend to do on these shows with our guests is we take it right back
All the way back.
Because what we hope to do,
let's go,
is maybe inspire people who are watching or listening to the show and hearing about the journey of your life to have done the things that you've done as an actor. So
right.
As a young boy or a young man, what happened for you to find yourself being a professional actor?
Well, I started my whole career, I tell people on, you know, my whole career in the entertainment industry, I started at the ground level of the entertainment industry. And people are like, what is that? You know, what is that? It's like an extra or is that like a... I'm like, no, for me, it was the actual ground. Me and my brothers were street performers.
Ah.
In the streets of San Francisco, we were break dancers. We were a group called the Street Freaks. And we danced in the streets, hat out, change, boom box, carport box out there in the 80s, in the pioneering days of hip hop, right?
Yeah.
And we became a very popular breakdance group in the Bay Area, San Francisco. And we won all these breakdancing contests. We got scholarships to the San Francisco Ballet Company. And we started this kind of path of, you know, being an artist. That led us to L.A. By the time we got to L.A., we already danced. We were dancing for the San Francisco 49ers and the Oakland A's.
Just the two of you?
No, it was just four of us. Four brothers and my sister. Okay. It was five of us. And so that led us to L.A. But then we came to L.A. and I was 10. A lot of that, all that stuff happened before I was 10.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then when I was 10, I got to L.A. and we started, jumped into acting class and started really learning acting. I didn't do Hook till I was 15. So by the time I did Hook, I was like a veteran, a young...
Yeah, jaded old veteran.
Yeah, young vet, you know.
But at what point during that journey as a, you know, breakdancer, performer, street dancer, did you then think, oh, actually, I'm okay at this, but I prefer acting?
It just happens immediately because as soon as you get to L.A., you realize this is a movie town. This is a movie and television town. Yeah, it's like, yeah. And I continue to dance. We danced for Michael Jackson. We continue to dance for several years. But, you know, it's just one of those things. Like, the first thing I auditioned for as an actor, I booked and then kind of kept rolling with it and ultimately did a bunch of films and got discovered by Spielberg. But we were heavily in acting schools. I studied acting for 20 years, and so me and my brothers and my sister, we studied acting forever. Like, very serious. By the time I did Hook, I was a very serious young actor. You know, I'm working with Spielberg, which is a god. And then, of course, Dustin Hoffman, who I've studied all his films. I'd go on the set every day reading his biographies, being like, yo, man, hey, Dustin, when you did this in Kramer vs. Kramer, like, having this scene, like, when you were doing, you know, Ratso Rizzo, like, how, like, I was literally showing up on my days off to watch Hoffman act.
Yeah.
Robin Williams improv and sit by Spielberg. So I was like super serious young actor. But
wait, so what era Michael Jackson were you dancing for him?
Like the bad era. There's a movie, there's a video in Moonwalker. Yeah. So they did a video of like the kids in bad, like the bad video, but with kids. And so me and my brother were in
There's like a mini Michael Jackson.
Yeah, mini Michael Jackson. So my brother was there and I was understudying my brother that, you know, we were all part of the dance crew.
Right.
Doing that. But we were dancers for a long time. I'm still a dancer. You know, once a dancer, always a dancer.
Billy's a dancer. He dances almost every day.
I love dancing.
I love dancing too.
It's one of my favorite things. I dance every day.
This is one of the things we were talking about. Me and my brothers and my friends, we always kind of dare each other. When we're doing films and projects, like, hey, I dare you to, like, do something. Like, dance in the movie.
Yeah, what?
Like, just somewhere in that movie, I just dare you to dance. We're like, there's inside jokes. When we're watching what they do, we go to the premiere or screening of it, and we laugh because we're like, oh, he did it.
I did a sitcom called Empty, a British sitcom for BBC, and the writers would write a dance for me every week.
Really?
Yeah, so it might be... I'm trying to remember some of the names. Kind of old dance stars from the 20s, 30s, right. 40s. And then I would spend the week watching old footage to try and get their moves.
Like something jitterbug, cha-cha, something crazy. Yeah.
And they wrote it in every week. And I loved it. That was my favorite thing in that.
And I actually ended up doing a dance film with Antonio Banderas called Take the Lead. So it was very cool later on to finally do a dance movie. It felt like a full circle thing. You know?
And did you do it? You said you got a scholarship for the San Francisco Ballet?
San Francisco Ballet Company, yeah.
So did you do
stuff
with
them? Me and my brothers all studied ballet there for a year or so. We did the Nutcracker. We were there in tights learning ballet. It's really very, very Billy Elliot. When I remember watching Billy Elliot with my brothers when it was in theaters, and we were like, moved to tears because it was really, ways, our story. Like, we're blue collar kids that somehow became artists.
I love that film.
Yeah, I love that.
It breaks my heart.
And so
it's heavy. It's heavy.
Then you do the Nutcracker at Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas in San Francisco in the whole...
What lovely memories you must have of that.
I mean,
how's your point? Is it still good?
It's all right. No, I'm all right. My turnout.
Look at my feet.
Oh, look at you.
Look at those Billy.
Beautiful feet. You got some.
Right?
You do got heavy pointers. Looking nice. Are you a dancer at all, Dom?
I broke both of my feet. I used to have beautiful feet. I'm quite ashamed of my feet now. No, I did. I broke my left foot surfing. I broke my right foot in a motorbike accident. Broke my right foot in four places.
I ride motorcycles.
I can't do anything with my feet.
Jeez, I'm so sorry. You still ride? Are you done riding?
No. This is what happened when I came off that bike and I was like recovering. I said, if you get on a bike again, then you've absolutely blown it because there's the lesson. The lesson is don't get on a bike.
Right.
No, didn't get on a bike. But, you know, I used to kick the ball around a lot, not kick the ball around since my broken feet. But, I remember when I'm sitting around the pool when I was younger, I remember thinking, oh, quite fun feet them. Quite fun hobbit feet. And now they're all mangled. They look like they've been in a...
You always keep them covered now, don't you?
Are
you nervous about your feet now, you little...
Well, the
What about your turnout? You were about to say, is your turnout not great?
My what?
Your turnout.
My turnout is great. My turnout's still good.
Oh, is it good? Well, you need that for ballet, don't you?
You need that for ballet. I still love ballet. I can still go watch the dance. I love dancers. I love dancing still.
Yeah.
It's one of the greatest... it's like musicians. I think I love us as actors because we're communicating. But when you communicate without language, that's like the ultimate communication. And even when we're acting... Even though we're saying lines, the actors are communicating without the lines.
That's
when you're doing good stuff.
Yeah.
And so that's what I really love about dancing, because once you kind of got that connection, you'd have the days of going out to clubs and just getting lost on dance floor, you're having all these incredible conversations on the dance floor with people.
Oh, I used to love that back in the day.
That's the best.
Well, Billy and I recently did quite a profound dance of Cotton Eye Joe at a festival.
Cotton Eye Joe?
At a convention.
That communicated quite silently. It was something quite beautiful.
Something very beautiful.
How did that...
Just got asked. We were in... Where were we?
Don't know.
Dallas?
Florida?
No, I think Dallas.
Right, Dallas.
Because,
Texas.
You know, it's kind
that
of a
would Texas. Make sense.
I love it.
And the girl on stage just said, do you want to try Cotton Eye Joe? And we said, yeah, what are the moves? And she showed us. And Billy and I had it down cold. And I think Sean and Ladd just slightly, I think they were a little intimidated by our gift.
I think so.
Mm.
Everybody was on stage, all the guys.
The four of us did it.
Wow.
But I think the four of us actually doing it correct lasted a couple of seconds.
And
we
then
were all
it was
in step.
Just a moment.
Then it was.
Oh, it was anarchy.
Then it
messy.
Was gone.
Gallus. It wasn't Gallus.
It was Gallus. Yeah, it was Gallus for a second.
It was Gallus for a second. And then it became non Gallus.
Yeah.
So then, right, so now you're doing Hook, you're in LA, doing acting classes.
Yes.
Doing all of that. Now, was it easy to get Hook?
What's the audition process for that?
You know,
had they seen you in anything?
It's the weirdest thing ever because I was like, I auditioned one time.
Oh, really?
Wow, great. That's the thing, isn't it, with those big
ones? It was where I auditioned one time for the casting, they put it on tape, and then I'm a kid, you know?
Well, Rufio had such a distinctive look, do you know what I mean? Not that
many
but
people. He wasn't, I don't know what they wanted at first, because then I went and they're like, Steven wants to meet you, and then you go to the back lot at Universal to Amblin at the time, which is still there, and you know, for the kids in LA, especially during that time, it's like the legend was Steven Spielberg has a full video arcade in the office. Like, what? And so you hear the other kid actors talking about that. So I get to the office, about a dozen of us kids there for callbacks or different things. And we walk to the door and there's a full arcade. This is 1990, right? So there's no PS2, there's no Xbox. Maybe Nintendo didn't, it's just Atari. I don't even think Nintendo really came out strong. But when you walk in his office, there's like a full-on arcade like at the mall. Like the cabinets, everything. And they're like, go play. And we're playing whatever. Galaga, Dig Dug, whatever. All these games,
brilliant.
Right? And we're playing for like half an hour or so. And you forget that you're there for an audition.
But that's
great, probably,
I know.
Right? Keeps you loose.
The woman taps me on the shoulder, like, Steven, we'll see you now. And I'm like, oh.
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, no.
Wait.
I'm Dig Dugging. Got a high score here.
Can I'm playing Joust. Hold on a second. And then, I get back there and me and Steven, he starts talking to me and he talked about, I did another film called Perfect Weapon. He was like, what's that movie like? And I was like, I played this street urchin kid. He was like kind of street kid. He was like, you know, like Ratso Rizzo. And the guy, and Steven was like, who? Like, do you say Ratso Rizzo? I'm like, yeah, like Ratso. You're like Dustin. I'm like Ratso Rizzo. He's like, what? And then we started talking about Midnight Cowboy. And I'm I'm like this 14-year-old, 15-year-old kid. And he's like, we're talking about Midnight Cowboy. And we're talking about Dustin. And then we were having like a 30-minute conversation about movies and stuff. Mm. And then I literally was in the middle of the conversation. I was like, hey, do you want me to read the audition piece? And he's like, oh, no, you don't have to read it. I said, what? He goes, no, I just wanted to meet you. And I'm like, okay. I walk out. My mom's there with me. She's like driving the car out. And she's like, how'd it go? I'm like, I don't think I got it, Mom.
Yeah, I didn't
she's
read
like,
it.
What? She goes, I didn't read it. She's like, what? I was like, I didn't read the audition. She said, we just talked. We talked. And I was like, well, whatever. I didn't, bummer. Sure. I didn't read it. And then 2 days later, they offered me the part.
Just straight like that.
Yeah.
It's, people, the guys who can really do it, they know.
Yeah, they know.
You know, like Spielberg, he knows from looking at you.
Yeah. He's picking up on your intelligence, right? And your vibe. And
yeah. I mean, I guess. I asked him one time when I was on the set in the middle of the show. I was like, why did you cast me? Like, I didn't even read the thing. He's like, I saw your tape.
Yeah.
I met you. And he goes, we auditioned thousands of kids across the country and you're the only kid that scared me.
Oh, that's cool. Little edgy. Yeah, Rufio's a little edgy.
Yeah. So, I was like,
so did you know at the time that Dustin Hoffman was going to be in it?
Oh,
or
yeah.
You just met, you did?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I knew Dustin was going to. I mean, Dustin's like a legend. For me, Dustin's on that pantheon, the Mount Rushmore of the 70s actors that changed the industry. I mean, Pacino, De Niro, Hoffman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Redford, man.
Redford, Nicholson.
Yeah.
You know, the character actor. Redford's awesome, but Redford was like the leading man. Yeah. These are the character actors that became leading men.
For sure.
And changed the landscape of what Hollywood will forever look like. And so, I mean, literally, I'm on my days off watching Hoffman act.
Of course.
And just being this kid. It was crazy.
Dude, I love that thing that Hoffman does in Hook with his mouth. He does this
mustache thing,
You know, like little twitchy thing when he's feeling uncomfortable or like if something's going on that he needs to address, he'll be like, So good in
he's
that.
So
and
good.
I love how vain he is in that film, like his hair has to be perfect. And
he's a god. I mean, they're gods. Certain, like, as a young actor, you're walking around. Like, you guys know, you guys have been around these amazing actors. When you're in the presence of greatness, it's like, it's great that you're rolling with them and you want to learn, but you also want to see, like, how they do it. Like,
how
do you do it?
And what was Hoffman's process when you watched him?
I mean, his intensity and his detail and just, he's method, right? So he is Captain Hook. Like, he's kept from the beginning of the day to the end of the day, he's like, he's Captain Hook.
Right.
Okay.
Even when he's talking to me, he's kind
of
talking to me as Captain Hook.
Right.
He did this thing. He did this thing to me. So he's like, I was 15, right? And it just so happened that, I was getting into kind of conversation. I don't know. Now we're talking to people, but I lost my virginity during the shooting of Hook. But no one knew. I'm 15. This is ragtime. But I'm showing up on set some of these days. I'm not working. I show up on set and I'm like, I guess I'm dressed up a little. I'm a little brighter.
Right.
And Dustin's doing Captain Hook. He's doing the scene and he's doing this. And he sees me next to the camera and he goes, Rufio, you're looking bright today. He's like, Rufio, are you getting some, Rufio? And I must have flushed red. And he's like looking at me and he's like, just remember, it's not the size of the wand. It's the magic it makes. I just about
lovely
died
Captain Hook
on set.
Love it.
I mean, that's he did crazy. That all in Captain Hook.
Yeah, yeah.
On front of the whole, it was crazy. And you're just so, like sitting there like, oh.
You said he was method and attention to detail. So did that show up as a lot of questions to Steven Spielberg? Was he constantly asking stuff?
I mean, I was a kid, so I wasn't involved in their conversations with him. I just saw how he, and this again, I'm not as method as that. He holds the character like strong, like through the whole thing. And consequently, you got another just as great actor in a different way, Robin Williams, on set being
totally different,
this whole different thing and improvising and kind of like engaging with everybody in the set in a way that he knew everyone and kind of kept the morale of the set going. It's a big movie, like The Hobbit. It's fun, it's great, but it's also 14-hour days, 16-hour days.
Yeah.
And, hundreds of people on the set. And it's like, to get that machine moving, you need that person at the top that's like, get on my back, let's go.
Yeah.
And Robin was really that guy and taught me so much on just that, that energy and that kind of, it was a different thing. You saw these two guys working in different ways, but working together. It was really
And then that stuff is definitely on screen. Like when you guys are doing the eating stuff and all that, you can just tell that everybody is up in a sort of, whoa, Robin Williams.
He's a god. I mean, I was a fan of him since Mork and Mindy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, his movies, I really loved The World According to Garp and the Moscow on the Hudson. And then I really, really loved Dead Poets Society. Like, Dead Poets Society was like, as a kid, we create our own Dead Poets Society.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was telling Robin about that. And we would, so Robin's like this on the set. You know, he has very big energy for the set. But then we're in the makeup room in the morning. We're just talking about poetry. He's like, did you check out this poem? Oh, I'm like, oh, I was reading Bukowski. Check out Bukowski. Oh, check out this other Thoreau poem. And like, and we would just talk about poems and poetry.
That's cool.
And so I got to see different aspects of him and shared that part of it. Because, I mean, Dead Poets Society. I'm a poet too. So I write poetry. I started a poetry venue in my living room some 25 years ago, right? And so this poetry venue, it went from my living room to a sandwich shop to theater, became the biggest poetry venue, open mic venue in the country. Became what, you know, the inspiration, which became Deaf Poetry Jam on HBO, which then went to Broadway, got a Tony. And a lot of that's attributed to, you know, especially in those early days of writing poetry, to Robin Williams being so supportive of me being a poet.
Wow.
Yeah.
Those things can just change your life, 100%, right?
Yeah, 100%. Little moments like that. And we were lucky enough to meet him here and there. He was a fan of Rings. So we met him a few times on the red carpet. We played charades with him one night in New York.
Yeah, theater in New York. I think it was
Ed Norton.
I think he was raising money for a theater in New York.
Yeah.
And they had, you know,
Robin Williams, Maya Rudolph, Amy Poehler.
Oh my goodness.
But this is when Maya Rudolph and Amy Poehler were in the background of Saturday Night
Live.
Like
up and coming. Mm. Up and coming. So, yeah.
Philip Seymour Hoffman
and Robin.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Rest in peace, both those dudes.
They were all super duper talented at the top of that list in terms of notoriety.
How scared were you guys?
We were kids. We were just having fun. But I remember thinking, even at the time, wow, I'm watching Robin Williams improvise. And everyone knows that he improvises, but improvising at a super fast, high level.
It's crazy.
He was extraordinary, man.
He's extraordinary.
And once he heard me, he did a Scottish accent the whole night after that. Yeah.
He's so crazy, sort of
Mrs. Doubtfire.
I know. I mean, imagine acting with him. The people are like, did you improv with him? I'm like, no. No, I did not improv with him.
Just let him go.
It's like you have three choices. You can either improv. He's Marlon Brando of improv.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. To go there, you should be on a level. You should be a black belt of improv. You know, you either try to do that, you probably get bulldozed.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you can just crumple
and
get bulldozed.
Yeah.
Where my strategy was like, I'm gonna let him go.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'm gonna say my next line.
Right.
But I think that was great though.
That's all you could do.
That's the way I do it.
But that was your character, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's great that it worked out, you know?
Yeah.
I always thought, because obviously, you know, the roles that he's played over the years generally have a lot of kind of charisma and high energy. But I think one of my favorite Robin Williams performances is in Awakenings. Have you seen Awakenings?
Yeah.
Which is a very, very sad film. And I remember thinking as I got older, is he cracking jokes and having fun on set?
Or is that one of those moments? I don't know.
With De Niro, can you just quiet it down over there, Robin? What a man.
Brilliant.
Okay, so Hook.
Right.
And then, obviously, at this point in your life, you've been directing. So at what point after Hook did you then start thinking, I'm going to expand into directing?
Probably like the last 10 years. I've been acting. You know, I'm one of those guys, like journeyman actor, you just kind of keep going. But I'm also Filipino, so I got to do some of the... I did the first Filipino film ever made in Hollywood called The Debut, and I've been a part of the whole Asian American scene that's been rising over the years and being a part of that, which ultimately kind of like bursted during Crazy Rich Asians, and now
a
lot of other things are going on.
They're
pretty cool. Shout out to John Chu and all those cats, Chris Pang, my homies.
John Chu.
Yeah, so they're all homies, and it's really, you know, collectively, we've been a small community within Hollywood, and everyone's been working, but trying to get it to a place where our stories matter and we can get our stories funded.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
And so it's been a process.
What generation was your family in California? Like,
I'm kind of like 1.2 or 2.1, I guess, because my grandparents were World War II vets on both sides, and they came over after World War II. And then my dad and my mom. My dad was born in the Philippines, but he was born an American in the Philippines and came here. So they don't even speak the language anymore. They like, or ever. I'm not sure if they ever did. And so we're their kids.
Right.
So we're like kind of second generation or 1.5 or something like that.
Right. There's a great martial art from the Philippines.
Yes.
Kali.
Kali sticks, yes.
Do you do any Kali?
I got, you know, Heaven 7. Heaven,
you got your eight. Heaven 6
yeah,
and
heaven
your...
6.
Your,
I got a little bit. I can do a little bit Kali sticks and knife fighting.
I'm confused.
Kali was probably my favorite martial art when I used to do a lot of martial arts, yeah. I loved it because it was stick fighting, so it was super fast. But you could get rid of the sticks and do it empty-hand.
Or with knives.
Brilliant. Or with knives, yeah. It's an amazing martial art.
Two-handed.
Two-handed with sticks.
With sticks.
Like little sticks. So you used to kind of go to class with your sticks.
Look at that. He knows what's going on. Bill knows.
Because one of my kind of like life goals is to come at you
with two
sticks or two knives. So could we do that in your garden next week? Maybe?
Absolutely. And I have been training my whole life to stop you doing that.
Exactly. This is going to be a Clash of the Titans, right?
Can we put it on TikTok?
Yeah, that's right. No, I'm not on TikTok. Billy's obsessed. He's obsessed.
Love TikTok. I
think it is a modern sort of artistic fun.
I'm with you, Billy. I'm with you.
You know what I mean? People are learning these dances. They're doing really fun movies. I really like it.
It's a fascinating medium. And I kind of get addicted. I loved it. My TikTok was great. Although my TikTok just got hacked like a week ago.
Did they do nasty stuff?
No, someone took it. Because TikTok gave me my name, @Dante.
Yeah.
Which I guess is a very valuable thing. We have one name.
That's great. Yeah.
And then it's been scaling super hard for the last year or so during COVID. And then actually a Brit. They said someone in London took your name.
Subhuman scum.
What are they doing over there?
Yeah. Hackers. And then what happens?
So on TikTok, they're freezing everything and trying to get it back.
So you'll get it back.
I'll be back
@Dante on TikTok. Yeah. That's where you're going to get your good stuff.
William.
Do you dance?
I'm sorry. I was going to say, could you share with Dante the video that got you onto TikTok?
My very, very favorite one.
The woofy thing.
Yeah, right now.
Well, you could definitely share it there or describe it. We could put the link in the show. But
yeah, what is it?
It's a wonderful moment.
I might have seen it. It's a hound dog.
Hound dog.
Who's sitting on a bed and he's doing his hound dog thing. And his owner's saying, "What is it? What's wrong?" And then he farts like that, the hound dog does. And he stops howling. And he looks at his own arsehole.
So you?
Like that. He looks at his butt as if to say, "Who farted?
Yeah.
Was that me?
Was that me? I feel terribly embarrassed."
And then he looks back around him. And that is my favourite 20 seconds.
You're hooked. You're hooked? Yes, yes.
It's my favourite 20 seconds that's happened on this planet ever.
We went to the first convention of this year, I believe, was in... William, any ideas?
First one was in Calgary,
Canada. And Billy sat me down at lunchtime and he went, "You got to see this." And we watched it over and over again. And every single time we watched it, Billy was in hysterics. He didn't stop. As soon as he farted, Billy's laughing. Then he goes back, farts again, laughing.
How did you ever do a reenaction of that?
I'd love to.
You should do one on your TikTok. You just do a duet, have it, then you just do it right next to him.
A mirror image.
What do you do on TikTok?
I don't do anything. I just watch other people.
Watch. You got to put a little. You got to.
I've never.
You
got
to add to the community.
I've never put anything on it.
Maybe
the
that's
first
the one.
One should be you interacting or reenacting.
What a great idea!
Have to dress as a hound dog.
You can go as far as you want.
Maybe just a hat or something like that. You know, with the big ears. Mm-hmm. But that's a great idea.
I'll do it.
He's an exceptional farter as well.
There and a good actor.
Mm.
I could do both.
I'd like to see that TikTok.
I can.
Did you release your TikTok or no? Your TikTok just a private TikTok for nobody to know.
I'm not on TikTok. Never been on TikTok and I'm nervous because I'm a little obsessive.
Yeah. So when it does get that way,
when
it's
I get into something, I really get into something. And I know if I get into TikTok, I'm going to fall.
What do you put on yours?
Well, I do. Of course, I do some stuff for the fans that they want to see from things from Hook or Avatar.
Mm-hmm, sure.
But the one thing that I do that became like a super viral thing, because I mean, you know, I'm not a kid. I can't there do dances and stuff like that. I think like, what would I want to see? Like a TV show, like a 20-second TV show, you know, or a minute long. You could do a 3-minute long video. So one of the things I did and just kind of I've been doing it is I do this thing called residual check lottery. So, you know, we're actors. Yeah. I've been an actor for 35 years now. And so weekly, I get all these checks in the mail from various things that come through my mailbox.
Yeah.
And I'll take a stack of them and I'll just take one out. And it's like residual check lottery, you guys. Remember, we're judging this check. First of all, it's a check from something I've done over the last 35 years that played somewhere around the world.
Yeah.
And I'm going to judge this check by what we can eat tonight. And it could be, you know, it could be Taco Bell.
Yeah.
It could be steak and lobster.
Yeah.
And so I open a check and it's like, you know, whatever. And then it'll be like, oh, this is from an episode I did of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And then I'll show a little clip of it and I'll come back. And the whopping total is like 73 cents.
Yay!
You know?
Taco Bell night.
Yeah, Taco Bell night. So I do a series of things like that.
And
people love it. And it's kind of fun to kind of, it's a good way for nostalgia. Sometimes something good comes, you know, and I'll be like, it's lobster time. Let's go. Christmas time, I did good checks. And I sent like gift certificates to, you know, 10 fans. You know, have a meal on residual check lottery.
I'll follow. I don't even follow anyone. I followed that hound dog, and now I'm going to follow you.
Well, I'm not even there right now. So when I come back,
I can't even follow you.
He's been hacked, William. Have you not been listening?
A guy in London.
Guys keep talking about Calgary and Toronto and stuff. I'm going to ask you a question: as you guys being Brits, or are you a Brit?
We're both Brits.
Do you guys have a kinship to Canadians as they're part of the Commonwealth?
Well, you see, Nova Scotia, which is New Scotland.
Oh, I've been there. I've been to Nova Scotia.
You've been to Nova Scotia, and that's New Scotland, and I'm from Old Scotland. So I definitely have a kinship with those people.
Okay, what about the Vancouver Canucks?
Well, I love Vancouver as well. I do feel like a lot of Canada does feel quite British still. I feel like
you do.
You know, there's a whole French thing in the middle there.
Right. There's, let's not.
Maybe not so much. But I love that part as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, Nova Scotia in particular.
They do like their cups of tea and kind of some British kind of things in Canada. I like Canada too. I was trying to think there, where around the world do I feel like there's like a natural affiliation with? And I recently spent some time in Ireland where I have extended family. And without really thinking about it too much, but just instinctually in my bones.
He's very bones.
There's like, there was a feeling on the street of like, these are my people. This is where I'm from. Monaghan, you know, my last name.
Yeah, Monaghan, you are Irish.
So I just kind of, and it's a weird feeling that when you're in a place that maybe, because I hadn't been to Dublin apart from a couple of like stag do's and stuff, but an extended stay in Dublin. I remember walking around week 4 or 5 and thinking, I could totally live here.
Yeah.
People seem to...
I felt that me and my brothers went to Barcelona.
Oh, beautiful.
I mean, and we were, you know, we're Filipino. And so Manila, we live in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this all makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, because also Los Angeles is very Spanish.
Yeah,
it's derivative of that.
Yeah.
And so is the Philippines. And we're like in Barcelona. We're like, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. I've been to Manila. I went and did an episode of my nature show in the Philippines looking for the Philippine flying lizard.
Ooh, I've not seen the Filipino
flying
lizard.
They're not very big. A fully grown adult is probably about this big, which if you're listening is about the size of, I would say, a hot dog.
Yeah, okay.
I was wondering where you're going to go with that.
Yeah. And they don't necessarily fly. They fall with grace.
Terrible name for them then.
Yeah, they should be called the floating lizard.
Or like the flying squirrel. They don't really fly per se, but they glide.
That's true. There's only one flying mammal. Anyone?
Hey, hold on.
One flying mammal.
Is that a bat?
Well done, ding, 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 ding. Lovely stuff. But Manila, I loved. What is there a name? Because I can't remember now, and maybe there isn't a name. But you know those very brightly ordained kind of taxi buses that pick you up on the street?
Jeepney trucks.
Mate, have you seen those?
Mm.
Horns and lights everywhere.
Jeepney trucks,
and they play crazy music. I love that.
Yeah, the jeepney trucks are crazy.
This could be a great time to say that we're going to eat the world, Dom. Because I tell you why. Because it could be Filipino.
I think that's a great idea.
But
could we very quickly squeeze in a League of Legends update?
Oh, I think we need to, yeah. But
because
I'm just worried about Dante because I know he's got places to go.
I do, but let's do League of Legends.
There's two things we need to do.
20 minutes.
Then.
Let's get in and out in 20 minutes.
Two things we need to do.
Oh, go on. What's the other one?
Because the other thing is you're going to prep for a movie.
Yes.
Are you directing it?
Well, I directed my first film. It's called The Fabulous Filipino Brothers, which is out on Hulu right now.
Check it out on Hulu.
Watch it.
But I'm prepping to do a short film. That's another film we're shooting in Europe later this year.
Or early next year. Whereabouts? Where are you?
Finland.
Oh,
Finland.
Finland.
Oslo.
Helsinki.
Yeah, Helsinki. Yeah, falling in love in broken English.
That's Norway.
That's right.
Yes.
Oslo. Finland.
Helsinki. Oh,
yeah, there's a famous Monty Python song called Finland. You should check it out. Michael Palin sings
it. Oh,
Finland,
check it out.
The country where I most want to be, pony trekking or hiking.
There you go.
Or just watching TV. Hey, let's do a League of Legends update.
League of Legends update!
Sorry about that.
I love it.
Dante, you play League of Legends.
One of the most exciting things besides hanging out with you guys, I love that you guys talk about League of Legends because I want to talk about League of Legends. Yes.
Dude, we're going to friend you and play League of Legends.
Does everyone know your name or is it secret?
Yeah, most people know.
You put it out there.
I'm Rufio Zuko.
Oh, that's amazing.
Rufio Zuko.
You're going to get 500.
You're getting friended tonight.
Let's go.
Let's talk about how long you've been playing. Where do you play?
I was, first time I was going in, one of my producing partners, Brett Claywell, we were going to pitch Riot. The gaming company that runs and created League of Legends. And they said, they won't even see us until I was like, you know, ranked like 30. You have to be like at least level 30. And so I was like, what are you talking about? And we started playing the game. And then I hadn't really played games since high school, really. Yeah. And then I got really hooked on it. And I got to level 30 and started, you know, playing. Now, I mean, I'm a gamer. I play different games. I've, you know, my Twitch, we play different games. But the one game that I do play religiously, like probably at least... I mean, I wouldn't say every day, but, you know, several times a week.
Yeah.
League of Legends.
I've known Billy for 20 years. We've got into a whole bunch of stuff together. We have common interests. We have things that he does that I'm interested in, things that I do that he's interested in. I have never shared, certainly a gaming experience, and one of the more intense experiences with Billy that I have with League of Legends.
This
is profound,
amazing.
Man. And Billy said a few weeks ago... You don't often in your life sit down and say, I'm going to sit here for 2 hours and do one thing.
Well, this is the thing, man. I try to tell my friends and my brothers, and I can't get them all. I've gotten a few people into it, but I can't get them all into it. And they're like, you know, what are you talking about, the games? I'm like, no, you don't understand. It's, first of all, you get to a certain age where, for us, different for kids, they're pros at a very young age.
Right.
We still want to be competitive at something. And you're not really playing certain sports in the same way capacity right now.
Right.
But the reality, they go, what is it? I go, it's 5-on-5 basketball meets Dungeons and Dragons.
Mm.
They're like, what? I'm like, it's pickup basketball. It's like us going to the playground down the street and you got your five friends or whatever and you're playing pickup basketball with strangers and you're going at and you're competing on a level. But instead of being, I mean, and it's just like it. Like there's a point guard, there's like a center, there's a forward, there's a shooting guard. Everyone has a certain challenge. You pick the kind of character you want to play.
Yeah.
You know, tanky, a support person, you want to do someone with range who's doing an arrow, you want to be someone who's melee, assassin who goes in and just kills people. And every character has his strengths and weaknesses.
Mm.
But we're playing, like, we're a team, we're a squad.
Yeah, we're a squad.
And we're going in and I go, you know it's a sport when you're playing against someone who's better than you and you can feel how much better. It's just like on the basketball court. Like,
you're getting
clammed. My God, this guy's killing me. Like, I can't, he's too fast.
How
he's going around me. It's the same thing. You're I'm trying to get away and the guy's he's too good.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, well, then I got to get better.
Yeah.
And then I got to get some defenses. I got to get some, you start learning the things that you need to learn for you to be better on that playing field.
Also, how about the fact that no game is like the next?
No.
You play on the same map.
Right.
Same lane.
And you're kind of doing the same
stuff. Character, same stuff. And you think, oh, this is going to be, you know,
but it's
same as last
time.
It's totally different.
Why is
that? Who got who into it?
He got me into it.
COVID.
And he didn't think I would stick with it. And
not
I didn't think I would stick with it. I haven't really played a game since Atari.
That's how I was until I got to League of Legends.
Yeah. And for some reason, because it's super difficult for like 10 minutes.
Right.
Or like
the
you
learning
know, 3
curve.
Days.
Learning curves is heavy.
But once you get what you can do.
Once you can get where you can actually play a game.
Right.
Then you're good.
Now you're starting to understand what's going on. Because you can understand when you're winning and losing.
Yeah.
And you understand why they're winning.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Just all the little things. Like the tower's there. So you can use the tower.
Right.
So when you're not great, you can kind of hang by the tower. You know what I mean?
No, of course.
It's not like you're stuck in the middle of nowhere.
There's things that you can do for yourself.
Yeah.
Now we're totally... We're getting super heavy.
This is why we're here.
So you can do things like a basketball play. I can get my shot better. I can get my drive better. However, the other aspect of the game is it's a team sport. So now it's usually, you know, every now and then one good player can win the whole thing, but very rare because you need... You're playing five people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so there becomes strategy... You're listening to each other. You're relying on each other. Like, I can't just win this alone. I need you to come and gank me to get a strategy here. We can't fall behind. Like, you, can you pick up the slack if I'm not doing well? Or you see your partner not doing well. It's like, it's not good to yell at them. Go help them out.
Right.
It's a strict team game. So there's a little, you improve your play, but you also have to, like, strategize with, real people, not computer people. And the people you're playing are not bots. They're people.
Real people sitting in their house.
And so that in and of itself is pretty amazing.
And who's your favorite character just now? And where's your favorite place
to play? I'm an ADC, which is bot lane. And, Jinx and Ashe are my main plays. But I have a character for each lane because you never know who you're going to have to play with.
So give us one for each lane.
So top lane, I'm going Garen, top.
Nice. Oh, Garen. Classic.
Yes. Classic. Or Quinn, but Garen usually. I'm going to go mid Ahri, which is also a mid.
Love
classic.
Yes.
And then if I got to go jungle, which I'm probably not the greatest at because I don't really understand the dynamics of how to. I'm always behind in gold if I do. Yeah, I don't know where I'm going.
The pathing is really difficult.
Right.
I'll do a Shyvana dragon sometimes.
Cool.
Or what's my guy with what throws the things? A little Yordle guy that walks around.
Teemo?
Not Teemo. I hate Teemo.
Little Yordle?
But what's his? I guess his name is slipping my tongue right now.
What does he throw?
He throws like the strings and he grabs you and he goes in. Jungle guy, and he cries.
Oh, a moo moo.
Moo moo.
The mummy, the sad mummy.
The sad mummy. So I'll do a moo moo, a jungle. Because if I do a moo moo jungle, I feel like a support jungle. Like,
You're not trying to tank it up or anything.
Yeah, I'm just going to get what I can do and help out where I can. Freeze him and then, don't expect too much from me.
Have you seen that cinematic on a moo moo that Riot made?
No.
Oh, you should check it out. So I went to the dentist a few weeks ago, and obviously there's a TV on the ceiling, and the dentist said, "What do you want to watch? We can watch something on Netflix or YouTube." And I said, "I'll go on YouTube." And I thought, I'll watch a little League of Legends thing. But, they're only like 10, 15 minutes long. Right. So I thought, I'm going to be in here for an hour. I'm going to have to keep changing it. Someone has put together every single Riot cinematic in order, in chronological order.
Wow, it makes sense.
It makes sense. It's like 2 hours long. The standout ones are the Annie video, the way that Annie came to be, which is beautiful. But the Imumu one comes with a really beautiful song. And it's basically just him crying in ancient Egypt how he got to the map. It's really beautiful.
Oh, great.
Give us your support before we finish this.
Oh, my support, Sona. Sona support.
Sona support.
Oh,
Sona. Nice.
Sona support.
Lovely stuff. Well, Billy, unfortunately, is a little, in a good way, a little stuck on Heimerdinger because he's brilliant.
That's okay. I'm loving
Heimerdinger. I mean, I'm kind of a one-trick pony too, more or less, but yeah.
If you had to pick one character, who would that be?
Jinx. I have like over a million points in Jinx.
Yeah, Jinx is amazing.
But also, what's cool, it's like I've been playing for so long. Like one of my characters, American Dragon Jake Long, Jinx's firecracker skin is Jake Long the American Dragon.
Oh, that's wicked.
Yeah, so like I play my little
I love Universal alts. It's one of my favorite things, which is why I play Jinx as well. Because I was like, you can be way far away from
sniper.
A team fight.
Are you a sniper?
And you can be like, oh, let me just send something in to see if
that's why I love Ashe too, because Ashe can help. Brilliant. I mean,
yeah.
Supposedly Ashe is based on one of the Riot owner's wives.
Wow.
I'm not sure if she's called Ashe, but certainly the influence for that person, he said to his wife, if you were a character in this game, who would you be? She created it with him, and that's like a tribute to his wife.
Wow, because she's a classic. She's like one of the OG characters.
She's amazing. Yeah. Bit too slow for me, but I love her.
I know, but when she scales up, she's a beast.
She's devastating.
She's devastating.
Well, we could talk all day, but we should probably eat the world.
Yeah, let's see.
Billy and Dom eat the world.
Johnny's coming in with stuff. So obviously every week, we like to either introduce our guest to something that Billy and I are into or have our guest bring something in. And you've brought something for us, right, Dante?
Yes, there's a specialty from my homeland.
I might have had this when I was in the Philippines, Okay, so Dante, what have you brought for us?
So I have a little, I don't even know if it's a delicacy. It's common food from my area of the world, the Philippines, and it's the lumpia. It's something I grew up with. My mom made lumpias. My grandmother made lumpias. And it's essentially, I guess people think of it like an egg roll, but, as a Filipino, like, it's not an egg roll. It's a Filipino egg roll. It's called a lumpia. It's, for people out there listening, it's really, like a piece of, I don't know if it's like a tortilla, but it's like a wrap. We call it the lumpia wrapper, wrapped with meats inside or vegetables and whatnot.
Here's Johnny.
Here's Johnny.
Dante, what? Maybe you're a perfect guest to ask. What is the difference between an egg roll and a spring roll, or are these the same thing?
I don't
thing?
Know. I think that's more from China, so I'd have to ask that. But
thank
I think
you.
It's the same thing too. But I do think, and again,
you.
I may be wrong.
Thanks, Johnny.
Egg rolls fried, spring roll maybe not fried.
Okay,
you know.
I could tell you something about the rapper there.
William, please.
I could tell you about the rapper if you like.
Please, please talk to me about the rapper.
Because it says each lumpia consists of a flour or rice wrapper.
Rice wrapper.
Stuffed with assorted meat and vegetables and sealed with egg wash. Commonly, the final step is then to deep fry it. However, they may also be served fresh. It's a widespread dish. Several variations. Yeah. Can
dig
we try
in.
It? Can we
dig in? Yeah.
Dig in, Dante. This is
like, we call this Shanghai style.
William, if you could be more.
I'll pass this over
could
for you.
Could you be mother,
dip one. I'm going to dip one in and eat. Oh, yeah. Hear that crunch?
Is that a good one?
Not bad.
So,
not bad.
In Britain, we have this phrase, shall I be mother, which means shall I help? How am I doing? Four?
I
got
to dip a couple and stick them on so I don't need to come back.
So
I'm just going to ask John for a second. John, do you know what the filling is in this? Would it be beef? Would it be pork? Would it? Are they all the same?
We don't know what it is.
I'll take two.
Take two. I
hang
one.
On. Dippy. No, I'll do a little dippy, William. Oh,
this
sorry,
is the
I've got
meat
some of your fingers there.
And then there's a vegetable one too, but these are meat ones.
I don't tend to eat pork, but I'll make an exception this
yeah.
time.
I mean, the thing about pork in the Filipinos, it's a common thing. My girlfriend doesn't eat pork, so that was a little treat for me too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And
Yeah.
Now, would it be fair to say that this is a street food in the
street food appetizer, and there's different sizes. These are small Shanghai ones, they're small and chop up. There's bigger, thicker ones that are like mostly vegetables. Mm-hmm. There's a dessert one that's a banana or a plantain in it, and it's called a torong. So there's like a, you know, it's kind of like most cultures, it's like a little... It's like a Filipino little meat burrito. Yeah, small one.
It's really delicious. And did you say that all your family kind of makes this?
Yeah, my mom had a lumpia company growing up
did you
in our
really?
Hometown. Yeah. There's a picture of me in our hometown, Pittsburgh, California, in the newspaper of me like eating lumpia because my mom was like, you know, they did a story on her making the lumpia.
So I said, lumpia is typically served by the dozen.
Mm-hmm.
It can either be an appetizer or an entree. Sweet and sour sauce, which we've got, is also the most popular choice of sauce to complement the dish. While the savory options are more common, there are also dessert versions of the dish.
Right.
Most of the dessert versions use a banana filling with different options to top the crunchy outer shell. Some include, sorry about this, Billy, cinnamon sugar. Sorry about that. Chocolate, drizzle, caramel, and even ice cream. Oh, a banana ice cream.
Banana,
one.
Yes.
That sounds great.
It's my favorite growing up, for sure.
They're quite nice, aren't they, William?
Yeah, absolutely. Like did your mum's business was it just out of the house kind of thing?
Kind of out of the house, yeah. This is in the 80s. And the great thing about when you get a homemade lumpia, the wrappers are homemade. So my memories of my mom making the rice wrapper by hand. She had like one of those skillets and... the thing, and she would like kind of put it on there and make these fresh lumpia. We used to eat the wrappers like raw, just like, you know.
Oh, the house smelled amazing.
Smells amazing. And then it's a whole thing, the whole family getting together, putting the meat or the vegetables in it, wrapping it up, and then you kind of store them up. And then what happens is you fry them fresh.
Right.
So, like when they order them or people come, they usually would get it raw or frozen from my mom's thing, mm-hmm. and then they go home and they fry them and serve them.
So they're nice and hot.
So nice, hot, and crispy.
Billy, I don't think either one of us would do very well with this task, but could I ask you to read the second paragraph under lumpia?
Allow me.
I think I would do terrible at the second paragraph.
Let's see.
Well,
let's see how
I
Billy goes.
See. On you go, Bills.
Although lumpia technically originates from Fujian, China, it was brought to Southeast Asia by Chinese traders as early as the 7th to the 13th century.
Wow.
In the days of the Srivijayan Empire.
There you go.
And later the
yes.
Majapahit Empire.
Oh, nice, Will.
In the 13th to the 16th century, and that's according to ChineseFoodHistory.org.
Thank you.
You did it better than I would.
I love
fantastic
it.
Work.
I'm going to have one more of these things too.
They're
like all
tasty.
Actors, if you don't know what you're doing, just pretend
that
you can,
yes,
right?
Yes, assume the position and just go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Someone was saying the other day, and I think I heard this on a podcast, but someone was saying I think it was a musician, and they were saying, well, you know, how do you attribute your success? Where did that come from? And all this kind of stuff. And they had said, I'm also a long distance runner. And they said, as a long distance runner, one of the major things that you need to do is just get to the starting line. Get your get the right shoes on, get your shorts on, do your training, get to the starting line, that's half the battle. And he, I can't remember who this was, but he attributed the fact that then as a musician, his guitar is in good nick.
Right.
He gets to stage on time, he does sound check, he does the show. And I think a lot of times, as actors, half the battle is like knowing your lines, hitting your marks, having the right attitude. Right. The rest of it is if they like you or not.
Yeah, I mean, you know, hopefully you do some training on the waist once you get to train. That's when they say throw it out. Once you got to throw it out. Once they're paying you to do the gig, there's no more time to doubt. Yeah, you hope that you've done enough preparation for it to fly.
And how does that transfer to directing a movie now that you've directed
your first? It's fascinating because, like I said, I've been in the industry over 35 years and I directed my first film just before COVID. It came out, right? And the Fabulous Filipino Brothers. And what happened was I've been producing for years and it's been really interesting spreading your wings from acting to writing to directing. And I wrote the script. But then it happens where you don't know how much you know until you actually have to apply it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like I'm on the set and when I'm dealing with my team and it's like, even as a producer, it just got to a point where like I became the most senior person on the set. And you're working with all these young filmmakers out of film school or whatnot. And they're asking you, well, this happened. And like, what happened? And you're going, this one time on the set, something like this happened. And then we did this. And then just little by little, you start to understand what you actually know. And then, of course, when you're talking about directing, you're talking about filmmaking, you're talking all the movies that you've watched, all the directors you've worked with, all the other actors you've worked with. And it just becomes not a place of egos. It's a place of like, what's going to serve this film? And so I'm an actor's actor. I'm an actor's director. I love actors. I love storytelling. I love DPs and I love the whole crew when we do that. But I'm still an actor that wants to tell the story and I want the actor to win in front of the, when we're acting.
Yeah.
I want the actor to win. So I'm trying to kind of ease him in the right place to kind of do the thing. But it's so exciting because when you get it right, you know, the air in the room changes. It's like theater. It's like, you guys, when they hit, you know, you've done a performance so many times, but when that moment happens, it's like the air in the room changes when we hit that chord correctly. And it really resonated at the same time when we were on the set, when my brothers and the actors would do the scene in a certain way. It was like, did we get it? Like, check the focus, because it was there. I felt it. I didn't have to watch it. I'm there. I'm in the scene with these guys. So, yeah, it's just, I think it's just, you know, just a next chapter and an evolution for all of us as artists, you know?
Very cool, man.
Cool. Imagine how many great artists are in the room just now but feel like they can go out and do it, because so many people, like you're talking about, that running a marathon think, well, I can't run a marathon. And they won't think about running for 5 minutes until they can think of themselves running a marathon. It's the same as making a movie.
Right.
I can't make a movie because I don't.
Yeah.
They think about a finished movie.
Right.
Whereas you have to think of it as moments and just moment upon moment. And as you said, it's in focus. It's there. Now we can use that moment to help Taylor. And then you, as a young man, 14, speaking to Spielberg and talking about the movies that you loved, it's all connected.
And
it's lovely to hear.
Well, it's just that my girlfriend's from China. She always gives me Chinese proverbs. And she's like, how do you eat an elephant? I go, what? She goes, one bite at a time.
Yeah, there you go.
That's all it is, one bite at a time.
So remember that. Any maybe young people out there who want to make a movie or they want to be an actor, you don't have to be perfect for that first time you try it.
Right.
You keep doing it, and before you know it, you make something beautiful.
Practice. Do you want to hear my favorite Chinese proverb?
Please.
It's Confucius. Man who cooks carrots and peas in the same pot is unhygienic. We'll move on.
We've got to give the scores.
We give the scores, Dante. So we do three categories.
All right.
The first one being flavor and or taste.
All right. Flavor and or taste.
I mean, how do you mess with that?
So out of 10, and you can give it decimal points. Yeah. I'm going to start.
It's a deep-fried, meaty treat,
and
William.
I think if it was fresh... Like
if it was fresh,
mother,
it's going to be better. Yeah, it might be better.
I mean, I'd have to give that an 8.9.
I like it. I like it. I'll take it.
Because that's a good flavor.
Yeah, it's a good
super
flavor.
Super tasty.
It would jump up if it was freshly
fried.
Yeah.
It would jump in a 9.5, yeah. I think.
Exactly. Freshly fried.
But 8.9 is all I can do.
Okay.
I've not eaten pork for a long time, and it was lovely. And the sweet and sour sauce was fantastic. I'm going to drop it down a little bit, because pork isn't necessarily my thing. I'm going to give it a 7.6. I liked
it. It's all right.
Listen, my girlfriend doesn't eat pork, and my mom changed the recipe for my girlfriend, so now we're having turkey.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, minced turkey in there.
Do you want to give it a score, Dante?
No. I'm going to leave it to you guys.
Too much history.
I have too much history.
It's just a 10 across the board, probably.
It's a 10 for my mother. This is not my mother's. Yeah. So it's a 10 for my mother's always.
Okay.
Next thing is aesthetics. How does it look to the eye?
How does it look?
How does it, when you look at it, are you charmed?
It looks a little bit like a cigar. Would that be like a miniature cigar or a cigarillo?
Like a self-rolled cigar.
Like a tiny cannoli without the stuff inside it. It's nice, but I mean, it's not changing the world, is it?
We did exactly what you did growing up our whole lives. Right? Really? We smoked them. We always smoked them.
Hannibal Smith from the A-Team.
We pretend smoke. Yeah, B.A. Bro. Yeah,
did you smoke it?
Hannibal Smith. Yeah.
Did you ever do it like De Niro?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I could see you as a young actor being a De Niro smoker of these things.
Do you know, I still know the start of the A-Team. We used to do that.
Wait till you hear this. Go.
In 1972, a crack commander unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you can hire them. No. If you need help and you can hire them and you can find them. No, wait. If you're in trouble and you need help and you can find them, maybe you could hire the A-Team.
Can we reboot the A-Team? Anyone out there, we're ready to go.
We're totally ready to go. All right,
right. Who would be who? I'm bulking up. I'll be Mr. T.
You could be Mr. T.
B.A. Baracus.
I'd like
face,
to be...
You'd be Face?
No, I think you're more Face. You're more
Murdoch?
Studly. I think I'm more Murdoch.
Murdoch?
Howling Mad Murdoch.
Face. Who does that leave us one more?
We need a Hannibal Smith. We need a leader.
We need a leader.
Maybe it's Johnny.
Maybe it's Johnny.
Johnny Clues.
Johnny Clues is Hannibal Smith. Right. In terms of the aesthetics, Bills, I'm going to drop it down a little bit because it's fine, but it's not changing the world.
It's not changing the world. It's more of an appetizer kind of thing.
It's a 6.5 for me.
Yeah. I still like the look of it. I'm giving it an 8.2.
There you go. Wow. Appreciate it. There you go.
Now, this is where I think it comes into its own. Billy's favorite category.
How useful is it?
Is it versatile?
There's a movie that just came out. My brother's in it. It's called Lumpia 2, The Revenge of... There's a Lumpia superhero.
Oh, wow.
What's his power?
His power's Lumpia.
But how can he throw
Lumpia people?
Oh, wow. He throws them?
As a weapon.
Wow.
Just want to throw that out there to you right now.
Like little Cali sticks.
Little... boom! I don't know if it's magic in it. He throttles people with Lumpia sometimes.
Well, my thing is...
through someone.
No, it just kind of like diverts them.
My thing is, and this isn't always accurate, but in my head, it's can you take it to a soccer game and give it out to either the people watching the game or the team at halftime? And I think you could do that with
Lumpia. You can, of course.
This was not...
Of course, it's a football game to you. You guys are Brits, so let's be familiar.
Yeah, yeah.
When I brought up this, how useful is it, that wasn't really what I was meaning.
What were you meaning?
I was meaning, like, could you, like, put it into, like, a food processor and make it into powder?
Other stuff.
And then put it on a cake or... You know, if you went into your refrigerator...
How malleable is it?
Yeah, versatile.
You go into your refrigerator and you've got 3 eggs.
Oh, yeah.
You've got mayonnaise. You've got some bread, ice cream, 3 bananas, 2 plums, and Lumpia.
Who's done the shopping that week?
That's weird shop, wasn't
terrible.
It?
That's terrible.
Lumpia, and then what could you do? Could it help you create a meal?
Can you do a lumpia pie? Could you do a lumpia pie?
No. Lumpia is a great leftover in and of itself. No thought. If it's in the refrigerator, you got something to eat.
Heat it up. How do you heat
Hot
it up?
Hot or cold?
Would you heat it up?
Microwave
you
or oven?
I mean, I wouldn't microwave because it gets soggy.
I would throw it in the toaster oven.
Boom.
Is it popular at weddings and or funerals?
Almost any Filipino event that you will go to will have Lumpia.
Well, that's quite useful, Bills. It's quite versatile.
Yeah. It's widely expected. It's widely accepted at any event.
And
it's
expected.
Expected and accepted.
Expected and accepted.
Like American Express. Yeah. I'm gonna give it a 9.2.
My goodness.
Usefulness.
There you go.
I feel as if I like what it is, but I don't think it's that useful.
Did you just click your fingers?
No.
Oh, okay.
I went with that as Dante hit his ball.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Sound effects. Foley.
6.8.
Okay. Oh, that's it's okay. Been docked.
We'll take it. It's all right. It's all right.
We like it. We have to say that we like it.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Thanks for bringing it.
I appreciate it.
I'm going to have one more just to finish.
Go for it. Just thank make
you.
Sure.
No, I don't know if Billy's told you, but he's bulking.
I'm bulking.
You need those calories. Lou Ferrigno told you you need those calories, Billy. Don't fool around.
And also, I think if you were to go down the line of big, bulky, strong man, brilliant, but could you also flirt with the idea of just big, whopping version of Billy Boyd, the biggest version of Billy?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there'll be muscles in there, but I'd like to see you get massive, like
Orson
Welles, like Marlon Brando when he was getting on.
Later,
something like that. Do you
right,
know what I mean?
Maybe. What?
I think about it.
I want these trousers to be useless.
Yeah, they've split. You'll come into the podcast one time and they split.
Skin tight. Skin all your clothes. Skin tight.
Well, Dante, it's been amazing
thank
having you on.
Thank you guys so much. It's a pleasure.
You have to head to Joshua Tree to start filming your new film.
I'm getting
tested
right now from the project. When are you leaving? We're making movies, and I'll see you guys in Toronto, and I'll see you guys on the Rift.
I'll see you on the Rift.
See you on the Rift, and everyone can see us all in Toronto at Fan Expo on the weekend of August the 27th.
Great.
See you there.
Cheers.
Cheers,
thanks,
Dante.
Mate.
Harmonize with me and hold me tight all through the night. You're shining bright, I'm your oyster, baby, you're my pearl.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.